Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hallis in your ears.
Yo, Seven Knife and Hallis. Episode 220, man. We are here live from our hotel here in Kansas City. Man, it's your boy Scott and Flows. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Andolini. Follow the Barbershare Network at BarbershareNet on Twitter and Instagram. Visit the Patreon. Subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. We didn't have any thing drop this week because of traveling, but next week me and Dante will be picking up back up with Cinema with the Guys, breaking down the last two episodes of Succession and Summer Sessions. We haven't recorded in a couple weeks, but we will be back next Wednesday for you guys, so check that out. Visit the bcnet.com. I want to give a big shout out to every last one of y'all who came out to our Barbershare Network draft watch party last night, which was our first big draft party. And it's even more impressive because me and Flo's, we're not there. We are here in Kansas City in our hotel, in our bunker, which is a very nice hotel. I have to give dibs my brother right here for picking a very nice hotel.
Say dibs?
Whatever. You know what I mean. What? Not dibs early. Not dibs, but you know what I mean. Props.
Yeah, props. Lady.
Props, yeah. It's 11:43, but in my head it's 9:43 because I'm still on West Coast time. But shout out to every last one of y'all who came out, because it's a testament to y'all, because we weren't there. Y'all came out and supported anyway. Got to give a big shout out to our team who held it down. Shout out to Tiff. She's the general manager of Barbershare Network. She held it down. Shout out to Dante, president of Barbershare Network. Nice. Shout out to J.R. Bain. Of course, he's not only a host of First Black Champ, co-host of Summer Sessions, but he is the digital president of digital at Barbershare Network. And also want to give a shout out to my homegirls, the label, for holding us down on the DJ side. And a big shout out to our partners at Haymarket Pub and Brewery, my man Mike Gemma and my man Jay Westbrook, everybody over there for our second event being there. And we're going to have some more stuff coming over there. And visit the bcnet.com, man. But we are here to talk about night one of the NFL draft. We're a couple hours away from date from night two. It's rounds two and three. The Bears have, at least right now, they have four picks tonight. Three picks.
Pick 53, 61, and 64.
So two second rounders, one third rounder as of right now, because you always say, you know, Ryan Poles is a wheeler and dealer.
Yep.
I think he's actually going to trade up. But we're going to talk about night one. We talk about the Bears pick and also just, you know, other picks happening in the NFL. I feel like last night was some big moves from other teams, and also a couple of NFC North, enemies who didn't have the best nights last night. But, my brother, how was your original feeling about our draft pick of offensive tackle, who will be an offensive lineman, who will be a right tackle, Darnell Wright from Tennessee?
I'd be lying if I say I wasn't upset that Jalen Carter wasn't picked. Now, of course, the biggest thing is that, of course, Bears fans will just have to get over it. And there's nothing you can really do to change that. Bears fans will have to get over it because it's clear that Ryan Poles was not in on Jalen Carter. He felt he was too much of a risk because of his outside issues. And they wanted to go in a direction where they feel it was safer pick. That being said, when you look at Jalen Carter and his tape and you just watch him, period, throughout the season, how do you pass on him?
Now, of course, he was asking me.
No. This is a rhetorical
question. Rhetorical question. Okay.
How do you pass on someone as good as him? Now, the biggest thing that you'll have to deal with, of course, is that all season was the street racing, which was the death of a staff member and a player.
And the player was his friend.
Yeah, the player was one of his closer friends. And one person wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and they got ejected from the car. And his biggest thing was, it was that, you know. But it's not to make excuses for the young man. But street racing, when you're young, is just a common thing. And when I heard, I was like, unfortunately, that street racing, that, ooh, let's drive fast in cars, because I think one of them had a Jeep Trackhawk. If you know what a Jeep Trackhawk is, it's a very fast variant of a Jeep. And it is just
Something that Luke Hobbs would draw and would drive in Fast and Furious.
If he was towing something, Luke Hobbs would 100% drive, have a Jeep Trackhawk. But it's a Grand Cherokee. It's a variant of a Grand Cherokee. It's like if you have a Charger, you have like a SXT, an ALT, but then when you start to get serious, you start to get an RT, SRT. And the more you get up there, the faster that they get. And the freaking Trackhawk, I want to say, is like 600-something, maybe 700-something horsepower. It's a fast car. And so you get young kids in fast cars, unfortunately, this is what happens. These kids want to race. And unfortunately, this lapse of judgment led to the deaths of a Georgia person, Georgia alum or Georgia figure there, as well as a player. And then, of course, you have the pro day where he comes in out of shape, but how much does that have to do with all the legal issues?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of stress he was going through.
And so I say all that to say, he's a generational player. You sure you wanna miss on him? You wanna skip him? That just doesn't seem conducive to a good team. That being said, Darnell Wright was fantastic offensive lineman, offensive tackle at Tennessee. You'll see his game tape against Will Anderson, and that'll be like sort of the forefront.
And Jalen Carter, yes, sir.
And Jalen Carter. You'll see that, but I like what he said during the press conference we were in with him, is that you'll see give him some glimpses of me all over the tape, meaning he did good all his time at Tennessee, and he did. So I'm not mad at the pick. It's a good pick. It's just, man.
And 42 starts under his belt, too. The thing, yeah, we were both at the table. We both weren't excited when it happened. Obviously, I definitely wanted Jalen Carter. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I didn't want Jalen Carter. I wanted Jalen Carter very fucking badly. We were actually counting down. Having said that, I understand why they didn't get him. And I don't think it had anything to do with on the field. And maybe it did have something to do with his pro day. I don't know. But it was clear to me that they were never going to take him.
Yeah.
And especially in his press conference, and this is something where he said character matters to us. And even when somebody asked Ryan Poles about it, he said, you know, I knew that question was going to come up. I prefer we talk more about Darnell. To me, all that said was they don't want to deal with the off-the-field issues. Or I mean, even remember before the actual incident or whatever, there was, you know, people talking about, you know, his the situation he had where coaching staffs didn't feel he would be working hard all the time. And here's the thing where you talk about situations. The Bears are still in a rebuild. You know what I'm saying? They can't afford to have Jalen Carter become a bust. Mm-hmm. The Eagles can't afford that shit.
Yep.
The Eagles are probably, we talking about culture-wise, probably, if not the best culture in the NFL, top two with them in Kansas City. So let's just say that Jalen Carter doesn't become the guy that we want to become. They can, like, okay, we fine. Like, we still can compete and do what we got to do. The Bears can't afford that. So I feel like from that perspective, I understand. Now, me, I probably still would have drafted them same way. We've been on this since for months ago. We did our podcast a couple months ago. I think it was me, you, Herb, and Jason Leisure. And we were like, look, you know, the talent is there. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at the tape. The tape don't lie. So, yeah, I wanted Jalen Carter, but I think Darnell Wright is a great pick. And I think when we were at the games last year, how many times did Justin take 45 minutes to come to the podium because he's licking his wounds from being sacked all them damn times? And, you know, and this, to me, makes the offensive line better. He's a day one right tackle. And I think I love it. Like you said, he gave up zero sacks last year. There was zero sacks last year. He played really good against all these guys. They asked Will Anderson on Get Up this morning, who was the toughest guy going. He said easily Darnell Wright. So I think it's a great pick. It's a day one starter. Justin likes it, and I think at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Yeah, in the end, all that matters is what your star quarterback thinks, and so like you said, you know, we gotta it's whatever to it. And I get the whole you don't want to take a risk, but I would live and die by a generational talent or a player who looks poised to be a generational talent.
Even when you have as many holes as the Bears do.
Of course I would. Of course I would. Because you don't. It doesn't come around often. It doesn't come around often. I was talking to, was it you was on a podcast? I don't know who I probably don't. I may have been on a podcast. But we were talking about Glenn Dorsey, who was a nose tackle from LSU. And I'm pretty sure he was like the defensive player of the year in college in like 2007.
Yeah, I think you was talking to me. If you weren't talking to me, I was in the same room as you when you were having this conversation.
And we were talking about, and then he got drafted in 2008. He ended up playing for about 8 years. Never did really anything in the NFL. I think he finished with like under 10 sacks for his career. But at the same time, you can never blame the Chiefs for taking that pick. You could never blame the Chiefs for taking that pick. He was a dog at LSU. He was a monster. And you live and die with that. You live and die with players who are going to be monsters. And that's how it felt with Jalen Carter. You live and die with it. Yeah, okay, if he didn't turn out to be, no one would be mad at you for the pick. It's not like taking someone like Anthony Richardson, where it's like...
That's a leap, a massive
that's leap. That's a massive leap. And when you ask players, when you ask GMs, when you ask coaches, analysts, what about the inconsistent tape where he couldn't find himself, where he struggled to make consistent adjustments against teams? And it's like, well, we like the potential of him. Are you drafting about potential, or are you drafting about success on the field?
I mean, you talking about gambles? That's a huge gamble. Because if it works out, Chris Ballard looks like a genius. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't, I mean, he should have been fired a long ass time ago. But this will seal his fucking fate.
A lot of coaches are trying to find Josh Allen.
I mean, Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen right away.
That's what I'm saying. They're trying to find Josh. Josh Allen had potential written all over him, and now he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And teams want to have that same success. The problem is you need the conditions that made Josh
Allen. I also think that two consensus quarterbacks got off the draft board right away, too, and they weren't finna go with Will Levis, who is still in the draft room as we record this.
Putting up pallets and shit.
Yeah, man. I'm just glad that white mediocrity at quarterback did not succeed for once.
You all should see us right now. Me and Scott are clearly tired.
Very tired right now, which is why I'm glad we're not doing video, because I look dead right now.
Yeah. When Scott said that, I was like, thank God, because I wanted to sit here shirtless. If you all...
Which he's not shirtless, by the way.
No, I'm not, because I assume we were doing video. I'm so glad we're not. Me and Scott are exhausted. A lot of driving.
And both of us have jobs to do on Monday. So.
Yeah, right back to work.
We will be leaving Kansas City, Missouri, first thing tomorrow morning to get back to Chicago just so I can sleep for 4 hours and be at O'Hare at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday. So, but we're...
I got to drive you, though. God help me.
You do?
Hell no.
You might as well just make my wake up. You did a lot. She'll be all right. But before we get into day two, let's talk about other stuff that happened in the draft. To me, I mean, obviously, man, I think it's big. We're talking about black quarterbacks. I know everybody who listens to a Barbershop Network podcast, the running joke is that I don't like black quarterbacks. And by the way, the running gag is still fucking hilarious.
No joke about that.
It's one of my favorite running gags on the network. I tweeted out the Denzel meme with the Koofy, and I was like, three black quarterbacks drafting the first pick. And then I think it was Amp, our man K-Tunes, and of course Pierce was like, I know you over there heated. But on a serious note, I think that's fire. I think it's, you know, you see the progression of not just black quarterbacks, but mobile quarterbacks, which is where the game is switching to right now. Even the white quarterbacks right now are mobile. You know, and I think that's dope to see. I didn't like all this conversation last couple weeks, like, keep it simple, stupid. We all knew Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud were the top two quarterbacks. Now, my brother is a diehard Buckeye fan, and it's been many days, many Saturdays, I've heard him cuss out C.J. Stroud. But as far as where the other quarterbacks ranked, they were the consensus 1 and 2.
I have an interesting relationship with C.J. Stroud. Of course, C.J. Stroud took over when Justin Fields left. Justin Fields was coming off of Dwayne Haskins.
Yes.
And Dwayne Haskins might be the greatest Buckeye quarterback of all time.
Over Justin?
What?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch college.
Dwayne Haskins broke all of the Buckeye records.
Okay.
All the Buckeye records that you know of were broken by Dwayne Haskins.
How long was he there?
3 years.
So same. Well, Justin was there too.
Well, you got to be there for 3 years. Justin was there for...
I forgot his first year. He was riding the bench behind Jake Fromm.
You can't be mad at that.
The state of Georgia fucked up everything with Justin Fields. Like, not just the Bulldogs, but the fucking Falcons could have drafted that nigga too.
Yeah. And so you're coming off, just going back into the Bears had a little bit of mediocrity. The Buckeyes had a little bit of mediocrity before they got to a successful string of quarterbacks. You're looking at, it was Todd Beckman, Joe Bozeman, Braxton Miller, who eventually became a wide receiver. And then after him, you started to get a little bit of stability. JT Barrett, which broke quite a few Buckeye records. And JT Barrett was a good college quarterback. And then, of course, you get to Cardale Jones, who takes over when JT Barrett gets injured. Cardale Jones takes them, and they win the national championship, one of the greatest feelings of my life. And then after you get on from JT Barrett, you move on to Dwayne Haskins, who was a stud at Ohio State. It was one thing him and Justin did was beat Michigan, which...
Yeah, I ain't doing that no more, but...
And then after Justin Fields, you move on to C.J. Stroud. And I watched C.J. Stroud in that game. I think the first game was Minnesota, some shit like that. And I just thought to myself, I'm kind of annoyed with this kid. Now, of course...
What was annoying about him?
He couldn't find a rhythm. Okay.
He'll be hot and throw bullshit like a quarter.
He'll throw a pass and I say, God, that's incredible. And then I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I had to find his stats. And it's funny, you look at the stats, it's 13-22, 294, 4 TDs. It's like, well, that's incredible. I'm like, well...
That's why you got to watch the game.
This is Minnesota, though. You beat them 45-31. It should never happen, of course. Defense is not is a whole issue. But he finished that year with 44 touchdowns and 6 picks. Like, he had incredible stats. I just hated...
44 touchdowns and 6 picks.
I just hated that his games against his tougher opponents, he did not seem to have the same level of production. Now, this is just eye test. You can get the stats and you probably embarrass me right now. But this is just what my thoughts were. But a lot changed this past season where he just looked refined and he was fearless.
He looked really good in the TCU game.
And when he played against, they didn't play TCU, you mean Georgia?
Yeah, that was who they lose to with Georgia. The field. That was Georgia, yeah.
When they played Georgia, and he lit up Georgia.
Yeah, he lit up Georgia.
I mean, this is the best defense.
That was the New Year's Eve game, right?
Yeah. Best defense in the country. One of the best defenses in college football in the last couple of decades. He beat the shit out of them. And I said, you know what? The fraud allegations have not happened.
He's got him. We got a guy?
Because it's like I said with Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette had a solid NFL career. He retired, he said.
He retired, but Lombardi Lenny, put some respect on his name.
Lombardi Lenny.
Super Bowl champion Leonard Fournette.
I said he's going to be productive in NFL. Why? Because he beat up Alabama.
He was a dog in Jacksonville, and he was very productive in the championship with the Bucs.
He was very productive. He's one of the reasons they won.
He's one of the reasons they didn't win this year, because he's hurt.
Yeah. Tough runs, good run. I mean, good pass blocking, catching passes right outside on the flats. And I said he was going to be good because he beat up Alabama in college. That was all that mattered. I didn't say he was going to be an all-star, but he was going to be good. And so with CJ, my upsetness with him left because you beat up on the best defense in the country. And so I had faith with him. If he would have got picked first, which there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of smoke coming in, so I kind of thought he would be picked first. But he's going to be a good player. The Texans, we're talking about... insane moves.
That's why to me the winners are the Texans and the Eagles are the winners. Like the Texans, like we both were at the draft table, and we was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I love it because like you know they're not gonna win anytime soon. Like they're still rookies. And I think the one thing about the NFL, unlike NBA and MLB, well MLB the same as NFL, rookies. A lot of rookies don't come out right away and just you know crash the building, especially not quarterbacks. So they're still ways away from winning. You know what I'm saying? So yes, get your quarterback and get your defensive anchor. There's two important positions in football: a quarterback and the nigga that's stopping the quarterbacks. They did that perfectly yesterday. I'm rooting for Bryce Young. I'm not rooting for him next year because I need the Bears to get that high draft pick. But the year after, I'm rooting for him. What do you think about Bryce? Because there's a lot of bullshit about Bryce. He's small. You know, he can't do this. How do you think his game is going to translate to the NFL?
It's interesting because he is short. Yes. He's a small guy. When he stood next to Kyler Murray in that Heisman commercial, I was like,
And Kyler Murray is a small nigga.
I said, you ain't that much taller than he is.
And Kyler Murray at least bigger than Bryce.
Yeah. That being said, I don't have a concern with Bryce Young.
He got a nice young arm, bro.
Huh?
He got a nice arm.
But yo,
that was wild. In our Cam voice.
He doesn't have a strong... So, if we're going to have the four quarterbacks ranked in terms of arm strength, he's maybe three or four. Anthony Richardson clearly has the strongest arm. He's just mid.
And he throws it too the other way.
he's just mid.
It's more than mid. You had a very strong reaction when he was drafted at the draft table.
Listen, I was talking to my man JJ Stankovic. He was like, "Man, this is my guy." And I just sent the video from The Wire. Who's the freaking? Is it Bunk? When he looked at McNulty. Walked away.
You happy not, bitch? Oh, no. That's Bunk.
He looked at McNulty and walked away. It's like, come on. Anthony Richardson was weak as shit. I don't give a fuck, bro. That nigga stunk. We don't even have to play
games. It was funny because we were at a table with a couple other Bears media and they were all laughing at your reaction. Because you was like, this guy's garbage.
He's terrible. What are we doing? Yeah, he could run because he's extremely athletic. He is extremely athletic. He's freaking 6'5", 240. He is a prototypical.
Yeah, we see him in the hallway. That dude's tall.
He's a big nigga. Yeah. He is a prototypical quarterback size-wise. He's fast. He's big. His arm, he can flick and go 60. Absolutely. But he stunk. I'm not taking a nigga who has 17 touchdowns and 9 picks.
That was his numbers?
That was his senior. That was sorry, his
junior. That's worse than Mr. Trubisky.
You know what I'm saying? First of all, Mr.
Trubisky. Mitch had great numbers.
Mitch had some cold numbers.
Yeah, Mitch had some great numbers.
The problem that you had with Mr. Trubisky was, who did you play?
And
you played.
And then in that playoff game he had was terrible.
You know what I'm saying? So that was my biggest issue. But scouts are always in love with the way players look.
Yeah.
Oh, he's prototypical. Oh, he has this.
He's got nice size.
Which is cool and all, but we're talking about Mitch. Mitch had 30 touchdowns, 6 picks, 3,700 yards this last season.
Look up that bowl game stats.
Freaking 5 touchdowns rushing, 300 yards rushing. That's a good year. It's just
17 now is ridiculous.
Which is just, it's just crazy that they picked, whatever, I'm about to get angry about Mitch. what do you see from him? The dude only completed 50% of his passes. What makes
That's him? Nasty.
What are we doing?
Also, you got to look at it like this. The Colts had no choice. The Colts have been in quarterback hell since Andrew Luck really said, not do it, can't do it. And my mic's
going to be there.
He did the magic. I'm not going to be there. They've been in quarterback hell since, and that was 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. That was 5 years ago that Andrew Luck did that. After being gifted 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and well, Andrew Luck would have been a Hall of Famer if he continued to play. Mm-hmm. And him and Peyton Manning, they with Phillip Rivers, not Matty Ice, Matty Lukewarm. And now they're doing it. I'll say this, he's going to have a long time. They're going to give him every opportunity to do. Only bad thing is they're going to throw his ass right into the fire because they ain't got nobody else to. There's no vet in front of him to start and warm him up. No. They should have went and got Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's going to start in Carolina. No, Sam Darnold went to. Was it Sam Darnold went back to Carolina?
Who, Sam Darnold was in Carolina last year.
Who signed? No, did Sam Darnold go to the Niners?
Sam Darnold's with the Niners.
Andy Dalton's with Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so that's going to be something where it's like, you know, you got them in front. That's going to help. There's nobody like that in Indianapolis. Mm. None. And to me, and I'm going to go to the Eagles. The reason I said the Eagles were one of the winners because the rich get richer. This was a generational pass rush last year. And
if you want to talk about competing with the Chiefs that you just lost to the Super Bowl, When you look at the two teams, who got better? Eagles got better.
Yeah, the Eagles got better.
They got a lot better.
The Eagles got better, so you got
Gardner
that.
Gardner Minshew is the person. Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles.
What, Indy? Nick Foles went to Indy? Okay, well, they can ease Miller. You can have a little Minshew mania at the RCA Dome. I don't even know if that's the same name. I'm doing the old school RCA. I've been calling stadiums by their old names forever. Like, the Denver Nuggets still play at the Pepsi Center. I don't give a damn what the name of that new arena is. But, so you can probably have them there. But you had a general.
Stunk. I don't get it. Somebody was comparing him to Josh Allen to Wyoming because Josh Allen's final year, he had like 33,000 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, 5 picks. Year before, he had 28 touchdowns, 15 picks, which is who Josh Allen is. He's going to throw some picks.
Yeah.
We almost threw 30.
But this thing with gunslinging slingers, Josh going to give you 15 to 16 picks, but he also going to give you damn near 40 touchdowns on the ground and in the air. So it balances out.
And he never showed the inconsistency that, what are you doing? Whatever.
You the inconsistency of who, Jay Cutler?
No, Anthony Richardson.
You're really upset, like you're a Colts fan about this.
He is someone I would spend a second or third round on.
Right, so right, exactly. A project. Round,
it makes so much more sense. You're like,
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Fourth overall?
It's third round, it's like, you know.
Okay, here's a question. Anthony Richardson, Will Levis.
Anthony Richardson by far.
Okay, then. Hell no. So those are your two options.
Boy, hell no, I ain't picking up Will Levis, boy. No. Will Levis was
But this is what I'm saying about the Eagles. Like, they had generational pass rush.
You got to stay to your senior year, nigga. You stink.
This is also true.
Then again, he had to transfer, but still.
Lost in the Super Bowl. Now they get Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. Two Georgia Bulldogs. As an even better defense. The rich get richer. That's fresh off Jalen Hurts, who was the richest quarterback in NFL history for 48 hours before Lamar Jackson became the richest quarterback in NFL history. And if you're Joe Burrow, you were like, yes.
Yeah, I forgot that Kobe Dean went to freaking Georgia, too.
Okay. If
it's a Georgia front.
Yes. If you're Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert, you're doing a Birdman hand rub right now because you know your contract is ridiculous. We're going to bounce around a whole bunch of NFL shit since it's only night one. What do you think about the Lamar Jackson saga finally coming to an end?
Nigga should have had an agent.
Thank you.
Everybody's like, oh, people said.
Bet you didn't need an agent now.
You need an agent now? I'm like,
it would have been done 2 months ago if you had an agent.
I was like, the reason this happened is because of the Eagles' contract to Jalen Hurts. It put so much pressure on the
Ravens, yeah.
For them to sign him. That's literally the only reason. And in that situation, well, no, you don't need an agent. But this could have been taken care of a long time ago.
But did you see Rich Paul's interview with Kay Adams?
Yeah.
And Rich Paul is basically like, it don't necessarily have to be an agent, but you need somebody in charge of your affairs. Like, you know, he said for you, you need to be able to, you know, just even for like narrative-wise, for months, we didn't even know what the fuck Lamar wanted. Like, even agents don't just negotiate the contracts for it. They put out fillers. He wants this. Like, it has sped the process up a whole front. So, yes, you probably. And I'm not saying that you can't get a deal without an agent. We've seen other, you know, Richard Sherman has done it. Yeah. Bobby Wagner's done it. There's been a couple. But that's like 2% of not just NFL, but athletes.
What do I always say about it? There are always outliers, anomalies.
Yeah.
They're not normal. But it happens. Nothing is ever 100%. You know what I'm saying? There will always be people who can do things outside of the norm. That doesn't mean that that anomaly should then become the norm. You need an agent not because, oh man, you need people who are going to be bloodsucking. You don't know, a good agent is going to do their job. They're going to get paid for it. But they're going to do your job and make sure that you're set up. Yeah. Jalen Hurts has a whole network of people around him. Women, all women too around him that create the empire and the image that he is. And look at the contract he got out of that. And bear in mind, Jalen Hurts did this for a year.
Yeah.
I still think Jalen Hurts is going to be a successful quarterback. If he keeps this, he'll go to the Hall of Fame. But he has a year of greatness behind him. And after that year, that was enough, and he had good enough agency around him to say, we're going to help you get the best contract possible. That's what an agent does. Yeah. A good agent is going to get you paid. They're going to be on your side. And, you know, people's like, oh, man, he did this on his own accord. And I'm like, well, sure. But you could speed this process up by having someone who does even the smartest players, people who have the biggest empires, LeBron James, he has people around him. There's a whole empire around him.
You got a whole team. You're a professional athlete.
Your goal is to make sure your body's in tune. And I think LeBron, as much as I dislike the player, he is the prototypical. He is the model for being a professional athlete. He spends millions on his body to make sure, because he's 38 years old. He's old.
And still playing well.
And he's still playing well, doing stuff that 20-year-olds are barely doing. And he spends that money to take care of his body. And then he has the people around who are going to take care of him, whether it is his clothing, his shoes, his empire, his philanthropic activities. You need people to do that.
In 20 years, he's grown. He's been a player in the social media era. Not one scandal. You need a team, man.
We're social beings. It's good to have people around you to help in different aspects.
Yeah.
Because even the greatest entrepreneurs will have people, because he's an entrepreneur, will have people that help around him. And so it's just, it's stupid to me, but you know. Social media is a land of immediate reaction.
Yeah, you can't, you know, Twitter
is...
Twitter is, you know, I don't...
Shut the fuck up, specifically.
Yeah, I don't really care about Twitter. You know, old I get, I'm like, man, who was that who said, man, fuck Twitter? Was that, what coach said, fuck Twitter? I forgot what coach said, fuck Twitter. We gotta find that soundbite. But we had some great news in the NFC North. Mm-hmm. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Aaron Rodgers is officially a New York Jet. The trade went through, and then the fucking Packers took that pick and drafted Lucas Van Ness, which is okay. Lions, I don't know what the fuck they did last night. That was a very 1989-ass draft for them.
I think the worst drafting was them in Atlanta.
And the Jets, too.
The Jets,
Took that, what was it, a defensive tackle? Offensive lineman. I don't know. I think it was defensive tackle.
I didn't mind the...
But that offensive line in the with the Jets is still shaky. You got a 40-year-old behind them. Like, you need to do a better job of that. Somebody said that the Jets got Aaron Rodgers and became the Packers. Started drafting like the Packers.
From Iowa State.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, that. But what do you feel about Aaron Rodgers in the AFC East? Like, what do you think their actual legit title chances are? You know, the AFC is the quarterback gauntlet.
I think they got a good chance. I mean, my best guess is they won 11 games this season. I think Aaron Rodgers, if you protect him, can give you three more years. I mean, he's a year removed from an MVP.
Yeah.
You know, now I can talk honestly. The man still has it. He can still do fine. I don't have to worry about what you're going to do. You can do it to somebody else. I think he can give you three more good years of quarterback play. And he can extend it five with 2 years of mediocrity. But he's 39 years old, almost 40. He's going to be 40 when the season enters.
He looks like Teddy McDonald from Snowfall.
And with the talent around him, which I think is solid, but of course you got someone like Garrett Wilson, which I think he's going to even take that next step.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers is going to be box office.
You know what I'm saying? He's coming off a year last year where he threw for 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. For any other QB, it's like,
that's
a great
year. That's a down year for him.
You know what I'm saying? For him, it's like...
Because he don't throw double-digit interceptions.
No, he's thrown double-digit interceptions three times in his
17-year career. He's been elite 18 years. We didn't start till 2008.
And the year before that, he threw 37 touchdowns, 4 picks, and before 48 touchdowns, 5 picks. So I think that's the fact that he did not have the talent around him that he had.
And he got his boy Alan Lazard.
And he didn't have the talent around him in Green Bay, and so that it contributed to that. Now you're coming to a situation where you're going to have a good running game. You're going to have a good defense.
Have a great defense.
And you're going to have talented receiver corps. Yeah. You're going to have Alan Lazard. You're going to have, was it Watson? Is that his name?
Yeah, you got, was it Watson?
I want to say it's Watson.
No, Watson was who we left in Green Bay. Christian Watson.
No, that's Christian. Oh, right. Wow, I don't know.
They got somebody else. They traded Elijah Moore. They traded him to Cleveland.
That's it. They traded Elijah Moore. So yeah. They have Mecole Hardman. They have Garrett
they
Wilson.
They did get Mecole Hardman.
Alan Lazard. And then, of course, at running back, you have Breece Hall. That's a good team.
And Breece was great before he got hurt last year.
You know what
year.
I'm saying? That is a good. That's a significant increase for him. And then toss in Hall of Famer, top five greatest QB all the time. They're going to be good.
Yeah.
I can watch them destroy teams and go,
I'll be fine.
I wouldn't care anymore.
Like, my hate for Aaron Rodgers more than he had a Green Bay Packer outfit on. I mean, you know, it's not like Brett Favre, like, I legitimately don't like him.
Yeah, legitimately.
And also, Brett Favre went to another division rival, so it's double fucked
him.
He's
also a piece of shit person.
Yeah, I mean, well, Aaron Rodgers isn't the best, but,
That's true.
But, you know, but I kind of feel like, and I feel like they, I think they can win the division because Buffalo's going to take a step back. Buffalo lost a lot of people this year, and I think a lot of defense have kind of figured out that offense. They realized the offense is, hey, Stephon Diggs is down there somewhere, and they don't have
Gabe Davis launch.
Yeah, Gabe Davis has one cool catch every 6 weeks. They don't have a running game. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is an opportunity for the Jets, and you know, Jets have and this one thing, if you have never been to New York or don't know any New Yorkers, Jets have a very big fan base. They're not the Giants, like the Kings in New York. And this is the thing about the Knicks. You know, the Knicks are actually the third team in New York, which is crazy when you think about it. It's a Yankee and a Giants city.
Yeah.
But the Jets, to me, the Jets are like the Mets, where they're the second team. They still have a great fan base. Mm-hmm. So them fans, they have not had a quarterback since Joe Namath. Like, so, and then I said, and I told every Jets fan, homie, I got, you might be happy. I can guarantee you, you're not happier than Bears fans.
No.
You're not happier than Lions and Vikings fans.
This is our day.
And I'm going to say, it's not really something controversial, but I feel like a lot of people have been putting money on the Lions. Mm. And I will say, be very careful. I think last night they showed a glimpse. They're still the Lions. And I think the NFC North is up for grabs.
Yeah, the glaring holes on the Detroit Lions. Or the, at least the glaring, the glaring holes. No, I was correct. Glaring hole that you need to fix was quarterback. Because are you confident enough to go with him into the future? No. In addition to that, I think they needed another end on the left side, outside, because you got Hutchinson on the right. You needed another end. I think you could do good with an interior person. I'm not mad at the Jack Campbell pick. It's fine. You need a good linebacker, and I think he'll be good.
Running back after trading back. Very interesting. And you just signed David Montgomery.
You know what I'm saying? And I think they probably could have maybe... it's quite a few defensive players that I think they could have been focusing on more than
anything. Yeah.
I think receiving core-wise, you're dealing with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Marvin Jones. That's fine. But you had this DeAndre Swift. You signed David Montgomery. Why did you need to get Jamar Gibbs? You know, what is the point of getting him? It was a stupid draft pick. Now, of course, people are going to say, well, you know, DeAndre Swift's not looking for a trade. How much was that the fact that they just picked up a running back?
Yeah.
How much did that go into that decision? Like, oh, okay, I see what it is. But did you need to pick up anybody? DeAndre Swift was fine.
You know, players get emotional. We saw the Larry Brown tweet last night that he deleted. With the sassy LOL. Like,
DeAndre Swift had...
Larry Broom, you are an Uber driver.
DeAndre Swift had almost a 6 yard average on less than 100 carries.
Yeah.
500 something yards, like 6 TDs, a 5.6 average, less than 100 carries. And then you bring it in Deebo, and then you bring in someone who can get you some tough inside the number of runs. Do you need to get a running back?
I didn't get it. And I feel like... they're the favorites.
I see a few of my Lions friends coping right now. I'm like, you're coping. Is trash.
But it's like, the Lions, this is the thing. Like, it's different. Like, I've never seen a team who missed the playoffs get as hyped as the Detroit Lions. You know? And I think it's one thing, like, all the Bears ain't ready. Yeah, the Bears should have a lot of holes. But I think a lot of people were forgetting. And we just saw with the Green Bay Packers for years. If your quarterback is great, covers up a lot of divisions. Yeah. So if Justin Fields is great, it's going to cover up a lot of things.
Yeah.
And one thing I give Ryan Poles credit, he's given Justin everything he's wanted. He's given Justin a starting right tackle and a number one wide receiver all in one offseason. So we have an opportunity here to I think the Bears be right. The NFC North is not going to be run away by anybody. Like, And now you're Detroit, your favorite. Yeah, let's see how you play when the spotlight is on you. Like, we'll see. So I feel like it's Detroit Lions fans got a lot of dip on their chip right now.
A lot of dip
on their chip, and I don't think they can eat all of it. So it's going to be really interesting. to see.
I don't know if anybody tweaked harder than the freaking Falcons, though.
You said... That's okay, one thing before we get a vibe, that's what I want to tell. So, I knew, like, shout out to Brian and Jared, host of King's Landing on the Barber's Chair Network. I'm pretty sure they're going to have an episode dropping in a couple days. They've been saying for weeks on their show, Bijan Robinson. Like, they've been saying if we're, Jared has been getting into Falcons fans on his feed for weeks. He was like, you got best player available. Like, so, this is something where, like, we're throwing all their chips in on Desmond Ridder. Now, I think they have a good backup if Desmond Ridder is ass and Taylor Heineke. I think he's a solid backup. We saw what he did in Washington. But, you know, this is really all this fucked up when they didn't draft Justin Fields 2 years ago. That's really when all of it fucked up. But I don't have a problem with this pick for them. I think if you're going to ride with Desmond Ridder, at least give him great position players. You know, you got Kyle Pitts. He's going to be coming back from his injury. You get Bijan Robinson. You got a great running back. And they're in a god-awful division. So I think they have I think it's a good addition for them, even though I saw a lot of our Falcon fan homies didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Shout out homie TG. He was pretty pissed. And I told him 3 days, I'm like, y'all getting Robinson if he's there at 8. What did you think about that?
This is a stupid pick. The concept of best player available is the stupidest fucking...
You don't like best player available?
Best player available is fucking stupid. Why? I have... Let's say I'm coming to a situation where I have a running back who... Like, what's his name? Tyler Algiers? Sorry, I don't want to mess up his name. Tyler Algieri? I don't know his name. He is 5-yard average. He is over 1,000 yards. Why do I need to get a running back?
That's a good point.
This is 2023, 2024.
Well, running backs.
Running is not the focus of your team. You have someone like Desmond Ridder who played 4 games, and I think 3 of those games were pretty solid.
It's okay.
Yeah. He hasn't had the chance to throw an interception yet because he only played 3 games.
Yeah.
He seemed to protect the football well. I loved him in college. And you think, okay, we're going to rock with it. We're not going to make a rash decision to get a quarterback this year. We're going to rock with it. Okay. And so that means, sure, I'm guessing their thought is we're going to pick the best person available. That's going to be a running back. Maybe he'll have Ridder. But you already have a 1,000-yard rusher. Why do I need to pick him up?
Is he as good of a pass catcher as Robinson? Because that might have something to do with it.
I want to say his season-wise, no. I'm pretty sure, like receiving, he's 130 something yards. Regular guy. I mean, he's 16 to 17 for targets and receptions. But do you need him?
You don't need it. I agree. But who would you have gotten there? Jalen Carter was still on the board, too.
Knowing that Atlanta really needs to fix their defense up, this was pick 8. And after that, you see Jalen Carter. I probably would have went Jalen Carter or Darnell Wright. Now, Darnell Wright says he can play all over the line. I'm getting him right on left tackle. I probably would have not. I probably would have got one of those two. Because right now, at left tackle, you have Jake Matthews, I think. Jake Matthews is a... forgive me, Falcons fans, because why would I watch you? But you have a solid offensive tackle. You think I'm just
waking up on Saturday mornings watching Atlanta Falcons football?
Yeah. He is your... Jake Matthews is your left tackle. And Jake Matthews was a Pro Bowler back in like 2017 or something like that. But on the right tackle spot, you're dealing with some inconsistency or uncertainty. And you have Caleb McGarry. This is... So? Okay.
And
so why not try to upgrade that position a little bit? If not, this is just, of course, if you're trying to go to offensive line. If not, then why not get Jalen Carter? Someone who will be an immediate boost to your defense. And you help the quarterback when you get a good defense as well. Let's not forget that.
Probably didn't want to keep Jalen Carter in the state of Georgia.
That's funny. So that's just my whole thought about it. I do not think it was a smart decision to draft a running back you just didn't need. It's the same when you draft a tight end, top 10. Why?
Yeah, as great as Kyle Pitts is, like, Justin,
you don't
Justin Fields was right there.
The first tight end, I think, was Dalton Kincaid, who came off the board. What was he, like 15? You don't need to draft a tight end that high.
Yeah, man.
I know tight ends are becoming a lot more important in the NFL, but Dalton Kincaid was 25.
Yeah.
You don't need to get a tight end.
Yeah. Hey, tweet. I appreciate them tweaking.
It's insane how...
A lot of GMs and scouts overthink.
GMs get paid millions. Scout gets paid whatever they get paid. And you make picking players rocket science.
Yeah.
As our boy Kyron said on Twitter, it's not rocket science. Let the tape speak.
Yeah.
If they look good in college, you make the bet.
Yeah.
If it ain't there, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap again before we go to the draft.
Well.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, we got to get this podcast up. So before you take your nap, you gotta edit this real quick.
Of course.
Yeah, man, so this is night one. We probably got to do the day two pod tonight because we're not going to do that shit in the morning before we drive.
No, so before we drive. All right, nigga, where are you driving to, nigga?
Before you drive. But, yeah, so, but it'll at least be on your feeds tomorrow morning. I'll post it up before I go to bed. But, yeah, so this is night one. I expect more active stuff from the Bears today. 3 picks. I think they're going to trade up because there's 23 picks in front of them.
I mean, right now, when you're looking at the people you got left.
There's a lot of talent left.
It depends on how they want to do. You got Torrance from Florida. You don't need Joey Porter Jr. because he's a cornerback, and I don't know if the Bears need to focus on that.
I mean, a corner wouldn't be bad. A corner wouldn't be bad because I don't feel like – I feel like Kyler Gordon is better in, like, the slot, like, better than, like, just a CB number two, like. So I wouldn't be mad at it.
Was Jalen Hyatt picked?
Yeah. No, he was not. He was not. We thought he was going to Kansas City, but they took Buddy from Kansas State.
Jalen Hyatt's available. You got Avila from TCU, who's a guard. You got Ringo and Phillips, who are Georgia, Utah cornerbacks, if you're going to look in that route. You got Carbonet from UCLA if you're looking into a running back.
They got any rush, edge rushers.
Right now, you're probably looking at Byron Young. There's also B.J. Ojulari, whatever the fuck his name is. You got Keanu Benton from Wisconsin, a defensive tackle.
Yeah, Ojulari is another dude that darn near right.
Benton.
Putting Hill.
Benton is probably my choice that they'll get a defensive tackle. I would probably, if I had to bet money, I would bet he's the person the Bears get.
Yeah, I think that, you think they trade up? I think they trade up. I don't think Poles is waiting 23 picks. I think he's trading up.
If I was him, I would trade up.
I think he's going to. He also said last night, today will be interesting. So all that means
is... That means nothing
to me.
It's GM talk.
It's GM talk, but I think the computer's a putin'. But we're going to get out of here, man. You know, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at Barbershare Scott, at Flo Zandellini, at BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. 79th and Hollis on Twitter. Also, visit thebcnet.com. We will holler at y'all later today, breaking down day two of the NFL draft.